Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
Hello and welcome into the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we got to start today with the biggest news in the NBA, obviously, is the Nuggets win the NBA Finals. It was a really interesting Game 6. There was a little bit of a LA Fitness run in there for a second where nobody could hit a shot. I saw everybody talking about that on Twitter. That was pretty funny. But all in all, I mean, I think the better team won. I think we both picked the Nuggets on the last episode, so it wasn't that big of a surprise. I did think maybe Miami would get another game, but it really once the Nuggets won both of those games in Miami, you knew it was over. Because, like, if the Heat can't even win on their home floor in front of that home crowd, you knew that it was definitely going to be tough for them to come back and win. But Jokic is just – he played incredible down the stretch of that game, played incredible the entire playoffs, almost averaged a 30-point triple-double for the entire playoffs, only missed out on a couple assists the last couple games, brought him back under 10. But I'm sure he doesn't care. If you saw all the really, like, I know I enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was good basketball. I thought it was solid hoops. I think that some people might have, like, overreacted to, you know, I know it was a 5-game series, but I think the playoffs as a whole were so good that it might have felt a little bit like anticlimactic. But I do think still the best team ended up winning. And I think regardless of who the Nuggets would have played, they would have had a really good chance. I mean, there is a reason they were the number one seed in the West. And, you know, the West was really tough this year, so that's not a small feat. But, yeah, congrats to the Nuggets. Congrats to Denver getting their first ring. Shortens the list of teams that don't have a ring a little bit. Hopefully the Grizzlies can be next on there. But definitely was good to see them kind of get their first ring. And we're going to talk about kind of what that means for the league as a whole and kind of how it seems like there's a shift kind of happening in terms of the teams that are winning these championships compared to like the 2010s and stuff like that. And we're going to get into that in a little bit too.
Yeah. Personally for me, I like teams winning their first championship. I guess it's part of because I'm a Grizz fan. Well, we're Grizz fans, so it's kind of like we ain't won yet. But, like, so, like, it's cool to see the team actually win their first one. Because, I mean, we've seen the same teams win it before, so it's kind of like, you know, like, we're used to seeing, like, the Lakers and, like, well, not the Warriors. But, like, you know, like, for teams like Toronto and Milwaukee and Denver to win in the last 3-4 years is cool. Like, just because it's, like, again, like, you see the fan base. Like, the fan base is cool about it. And, like, you kind of gives you hope for what they do, especially Denver. I say Denver and even Milwaukee kind of give you hope, because I even said on Twitter yesterday, like, because I think shout out to Parker Fleming, said something about, you know, because it being a homegrown championship, because, you know, how they had everybody, not everybody together, but their core guys together. And I was just like, the Grizz are next. And obviously, you know, who knows? But, I mean, I'm confident, you know, just trying to speak into existence. But for the Nuggets, man, like, you know, the thing with the Nuggets for me, in terms of the only question I had about them as a contender, is their defense. Like, that was really the biggest thing for me.
For sure.
If I'm not mistaken, if I pull up the stat, basically they were the fourth team in the last 40 years to win an NBA title without being like a top defense. So it wasn't like I was like just hating on them, but like their defense just was never consistent enough for me to be like, man, like I worried if they got into a wrong matchup, they could lose it. Not saying that made me not think they could continue. I always thought they were. But their defensive performance really was the impressive thing to me throughout the playoffs. And really just they did a lot of stuff that championship teams usually do on a run. Like their poise throughout games and their timely playmaking and shot making was always something that showed it to me, especially when they started playing like the Lakers and really later in that Phoenix series. They really, like, it didn't matter who it was, like, timely shot. It came from whether it was Jokic or Jamal, Aaron Gordon, Bruce Brown, Braun. Like, they were just, like, everybody was locked.
Christian Brown had a really good game in there, too.
Yeah,
KCP hit some big shots. It was really just like an all-around team effort. And I think that's why I did like, you know, this Nuggets team, is because it really felt like it was just a full team effort. Obviously, you got Jokic, and he's the MVP. And probably you can argue who it is, but right now, you know, he just won Finals MVP. He's got the title of best in the world right now. I feel like it's kind of that's kind of how it works right now. I think that's what Giannis said last year after Steph won, you know. Hey, people call me the best in the world when I won Finals MVP. They call Steph when he wins it. So I think it's not a stretch to say Jokic is the best in the world right now. And but I still feel like just the team as a general played so well. And I like that you mentioned their defense, because I was looking at it and Miami only scored, like Miami had struggled on offense a lot in the regular season. Obviously, they got hot in the playoffs, but throughout the regular season, they weren't a great offensive team. And that kind of showed up in this too. But I do want to credit their defense a lot, because especially in today's NBA, when you're holding teams under 100 consistently, I think they held them under 500 in 4 out of the 5 games. So it was basically like they played their best they could on defense. And I think that was really the difference in the series. Miami definitely was going to be a good, solid defensive team too. But I think that, you know, Denver's offense was just so much better, even with Miami playing great defense that they did. And, you know, it was just impossible to stop Jokic. And then Jamal Murray had some good games. And then Aaron Gordon, didn't talk about him yet. Aaron Gordon had a really good series. That's a dude that a couple years ago I was looking at as possibly a Grizzly. And I think some people were like kind of iffy on that whenever he was leaving Orlando. But I think there's a lot of people now that would look back on it and say that they would have taken him. Especially on this team, when you see, you know, what they really need to, and needing a guy that can play like three and the four, kind of like that, like he does for them. So it's definitely like congratulations to the Nuggets. I think that they had a really good season, really good team. And I think a lot of people talk about like their path to the championship, and that's going to be like a narrative. But at the end of the day, you play who's in front of you. And exactly. You know, you play who's in front of you, and that's what they did. And they beat everybody who was in front of them, and they got it done. So, like I said, congratulations to the Nuggets. Congratulations to Jokic on Finals MVP. But I do feel like there's a lot that is going to continue to show up the next couple years, just based on the way that teams are winning championships now, for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Nuggets. It's kind of like, again, like you said, with their offense, their offense was top tier. Because again, when you have an all-time player like Jokic and then a good player Murray, I think that kind of, you know, they set the tone for everything else in terms of ball movement. But yeah, like for them, it's like, again, you play who's in front of you. Like everybody wants to talk about the title and things of that nature. Like I've talked about before, you have to have some type of luck. And while they had some luck in terms of being healthy the whole year, I think they only had a lot. They didn't have anybody miss a game for injury in the playoffs, and like they were healthy throughout the majority of the year. That's the type of luck you need, but also like good matchups, and just they got the luck, but they made their own luck because they did get the one seed. So when you get the one seed, you get favorable matchups usually. And they got even more favorable matchups because lower seeds won in 2 out of the 3 rounds or something like that. But basically, they didn't play against – I'm not going to say they didn't play against nobody good, but they played against teams that, you know, that were better matchups for them, and ended up playing a Miami team that they just had to play who was an 8 seed and went on a historic run. But, like, because people are, like, trying to say, you know, Miami didn't really deserve it. But, like, it's a game of matchups. Like, you can't be mad at Denver for beating a team who's in front of them. Like, it's just, like, that's part of it. Like, it's always going to be part of it. You know what I mean? And, like, they're still champions at the end of the day. You still got to play the games. Like, even if they are the favorite in that, or they were the favorite in that series, they still had to play the game. So, yeah, no, congrats to Denver. I think, you know, again, they really are. And the thing is, they're set up too. They're still young. Not young, but like everybody's in their late 20s versus early 30s. So, you know, you still have
honestly, a lot. I would say they're better than being young. It's like they're all in their primes. Like the main guys are like hitting their prime age. And even like MPJ is starting to, you know, I wouldn't say he's in his prime yet, but he's starting to like get to that point where he's been in the league for a couple years and he's getting a little bit older. So it's like, I think they're hitting their stride kind of as a team. And I will say this, and this is the thing that I do want to move on to next, is we had like this super team era, right? Which really started when LeBron went down to Miami. And I was looking at this the other day. So we've now had three straight finals MVPs that won it with the team that drafted them. And that is the first time that's happened actually since the LeBron move. I think it was like when Dirk won it, and then, you know, Kobe had won it the year before and stuff like that. So, you know, drafted with those teams. I think that was the last time where it was like 3 years in a row where they won it with the team that drafted them. So I kind of, not to say that it's like, are the super teams done? I feel like that era is starting to kind of get phased out. And I think you're going to start to see, especially with the new CBA rules and stuff like that, which I'm not going to get into all of that right now, but it makes it a lot harder for super teams to be built, basically. And when you see these teams there, it seems like they're starting to move to this. We're going to get our core players. Like, that's what the Nuggets did. That's what the Warriors did. That's what the Bucks did. They get their core guys, and then they build around that rather than looking elsewhere to get their core guys. And I think that's the big difference that I'm starting to notice, like, just across the league. And I think that's something solid, like, to bring it back to, like, a Grizzlies point as well. I think it's something that could help them going forward, just because I feel like they're starting to get to the point to where they know who their core guys are going to be. And now you can look at a team like Denver as basically a blueprint to what you got to do. Because, you know, they drafted Jokic, they drafted Murray and all that, and they drafted MPJ. But a lot of those guys, like, they didn't draft Aaron Gordon. You know, he played big roles. They didn't draft KCP. So it's kind of like, not to say that you just have to keep everybody you draft. Like, I think that's something that we're going to see this offseason. Like, some of the people that the Grizzlies drafted might not be on the team anymore. But I think if you bring in guys from other places that fit the way that they need to fit. And I think that's really what the Nuggets did well, is they got Jokic and they got Murray, and then to a little bit lesser extent, MPJ. But, you know, they got those guys, and then they were like, these are our guys. We're not going to, you know, maybe there was a trade where you could have traded Jamal Murray for another superstar guy earlier in his career. Like, they talked about there were opportunities for that. But instead of making that move, they stick with it. You have Michael Malone, who a lot of coaches do not get the kind of chance that he really got. You know, they didn't make the playoffs his first 3 years when Jokic was there, but they didn't give up on him. They believed in him. And then it's like, when you get to this point and they're in year eight of playing in the same system with those guys, and then basically, like, not to say that chemistry doesn't matter at the end of the bench, but if your main guys are bought in, it kind of feels like everybody else will fall into place. And I think that that's really what you're going to start seeing, is you're going to see teams that are going to draft their core guys. Maybe you'll see, like, some trades and stuff like that. But I don't think we're going to see as many of these, you know, we're all going to leave in free agency and just take over this team, like, you know, Kyrie, KD, and Harden do with the Nets, or like when LeBron and Chris Bosh went to Miami and stuff like that. I don't think you're going to see as much as that, not only just because it's kind of shifting that way, but also because, like I said, the CBA is making it harder. And then you add in, you know, the Supermax deals, which means you can make more money staying where you're at a lot of the time. Like, most of the time, if you want to move somewhere, you're giving up money as well. And I think it's a lot harder for players to give up money to move somewhere, rather than if, oh, they can offer me the same contract over here and I can live in Miami. You know, it's a little bit different. So I think that the NBA has made some moves that is kind of, like, not to say that the super team era is completely dead. Like, maybe Kyrie is going to go to the Lakers or something and they're going to try to do something crazy again. But it really just seems like that, it just seems like that era is kind of getting phased out, and we're about to see kind of like another shift.
Yeah. I got a stat for that. Now, shout out to Chris Walter. He's on Twitter, Walter Sports. He talked about it, because I've been talking about it. And basically, from 2019 to 2023, there's been five different champions in five different years. And basically, this hasn't happened since 1997 to 1981. So, I say all that to say, parity is a big prevalent of all this. But again, with these teams that have won it, like you said, a lot of these teams fit the bill of having your core guys and then building around those guys. And a lot of those cores, obviously the last two have been homegrown in the sense of they've drafted usually the top two to three best players.
Either then, drafted or traded for him very early on. Like, yeah. I think like Chris Middleton got traded right after his rookie year.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he got traded. Drew got traded, but like with the Warriors, they drafted Steph, Clay, Dre, Nuggets drafted Jokic, Murray, Porter. But then again, they built around him. And then on top of that, they kept the same coach. So, you know, I do think the super team era is kind of hard, especially what you said with the new CBA. Like, a lot of teams won't be able to trade or really just sign people. Like, especially, and if you do sign those people, you're not going to have enough money to build a roster. And we've seen teams that have had superstars the last couple of years or two all-star players, like perennial all-star players, but not have a good roster because they're spending so much money on those two players alone because they weren't able to draft them usually. So I think that's kind of the thing that's obviously I think that we're going to see. I'm big on parity working here in the NBA. Like, I think it's going to work. Like, and it has worked because, like you were talking about earlier about watching the playoffs, I think they said it today, this is the most viewed playoff in, like, 5 years. Like, so, like, it's obviously a winning or, you know, successful formula for them. And I think when it as it pertains to the Grizzlies, they already kind of have that in terms of the makings of a team where they'll be able to be set up for a while because you got your core. Like you said, you got Ja, Jaren, and Bane. Now it's about building around them. Now, granted, and I think they, to be honest, have us a little bit maybe more potential than some of these other cores because of everybody kind of being more on the same age. Not only that, you kind of have a lot of different pieces that usually like the weaknesses that you could fill out for a lot of different teams. You can't like Denver had a weakness in defense. We got the defense player of the year. Like, you know what I mean? Like the Warriors and Bucks, like the like certain players like on their teams, like for us, we have as an advantage. So I think with the Grizzlies, like I think they just kind of have to stay the course. I mean, you got your three guys and then you got your coach. So I think that's the real big thing that they have to just basically the front office and basically ownership really have to be patient because that's really what it comes down to. Like you said, Malone could have got fired after year three. He even said it. He could have got fired after year three. And then, you know, like that's usually what happens. Or they could have traded Murray, but they're starting to see that you don't need superstars to win a championship. You need one superstar. I personally believe you need a top 10 to 15 player, all NBA type of guy. And then you need an all-star level player because the league is so talented now that like Jamal Murray hasn't even made an all-star team, but he's clearly a number two on a championship team.
Definitely.
So you can't. I say
he's an all-star level player. Like, there's no question he's an all-star level player.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's why I say you need all-star level players. So that's why I don't really get attached to sometimes like a player being all-star. Like, Bane wasn't an all-star, but we clearly know Bane is an all-star level player. Jeremy, all-star. So, like, we know this. Like, we have three all-star level players and one NBA guy. So I think we have the makings of that. So, you know, I think they just got to continue to build the roster around them correctly. You know what I mean? I think they will. You know, I'm not really worried about it, but they got to understand this patience. Because like you said, Malone's in his eighth year. Jokic is in his eighth or ninth year. Murray's in like his sixth or seventh year. They're all like 28, 27. Like, it takes time. So, you know, you just got to kind of trust the process and with these things. Because again, you could cut it or break it away or break it up too quickly and then not really see it through. You know what I mean? Especially when you see teams from past be older and stay together longer. Like, think about that. I'll just use this real quick. Like the Jazz, when they had Malone and Stockton. Now, they never didn't win, but imagine if they broke them up so soon. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have made those finals runs, especially because they had a couple times where they lost to lower seeds. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you got to see it through. So, yeah, I do think parity is here, and super teams are not going to – I'm not going to say a super team, never say never, because there could be a loophole like we saw with the Golden State Warriors, and that happened again. But it's going to be hard for me to see it just because of how the league – the talent keeps getting better and how the new CBA probably will play an effect in that. And so I think, I think we're going to see a lot more teams, different teams win like championships now, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And I heard you talk about the coach and staff, and that kind of is a good segue talking about like coaches and stuff like that, because the biggest Grizzlies news of the week, well, we're waiting on when they're going to announce the Ja suspension. That's going to be the biggest news whenever that drops. But yep, we do have coach Darko Rajkovic is moving on from the Grizzlies as an assistant coach. Been an assistant coach for a while now, and has really been good in terms of, you know, player development. And I think that's the really big thing that you see on the Grizzlies is how the players have gotten a lot better. So I will say, like, shout out to Coach Darko for that. I think that he's done a great job with that. And in his introductory press conference for the Raptors, he did talk about trying to bring some of that to Toronto as well. And, I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there. He might be able to develop some of the same players when he gets there if what happens the next what happens in the next couple weeks happens. So he might be able to develop some of the same players up there. That's all I'm going to say. But I will say, you know, shout out to him. And I think he definitely deserves it. He had a really nice, you know, message on Twitter talking about all the coaches that, you know, have helped him get to this point. And yes, it's always a good sign when people from your organization are making moves that are, not sideways moves. You know what I mean? They're moving up. So going from an assistant coach to a head coach, not, you know, leaving and taking the same level of job somewhere else. I think that's always a good sign that, like, your culture and everything is going in the right way. And yeah, so I just shout out to him. It is going to be interesting because the Grizzlies are now going to have to, you know, find somebody to replace him. So I'm not going to pretend like I know every single assistant coach that's out there waiting on a job. So I'm not really going to get into names, but I will say, I think they need to try to bring in somebody who's a former player. Cause I think that's something that could be very good. And I hear a lot of stuff. Like, I feel like people who are former players, they just think about the game differently. And I think that's just something that they might need kind of to be, like, not necessarily a contrarian to, like, whatever Taylor Jenkins is saying, but more to give him more perspective of somebody who's been in those situations before. So, I'm not going to throw out any names or anything, but that's what I would say is I'd look for a former player. Because I think that'll just be something interesting to kind of add to the coaching staff as well.
Yeah. First, shout out to Darko. I think he was our top assistant for the last 2-3 years. Obviously, again, like, he has a big hand in player development. His introductory press conference was today. Shout out to my boy S. Barahini. He covers a lot of the Raptors sports, and we're really just not Raptors, but Toronto sports, but, like, really the Raptors. And he was talking about, he was at the actual press conference today. And, like, you were talking about, which what Darko was mentioning, like, he was talking about, like, basically, like, player development is his biggest thing. Like, for him, he's enjoyed seeing his guys get better and being invested in those guys. And so I think that's the thing, you know, that I think with the Raptors, for them at least, they have a interesting, like you said, they could pivot in a lot of different ways. They could say, hey, we want to still want to be competitive, or they still, you know, or they could go in a different way and want to develop. But they have the coach who can do either or, I think, and, you know, who could be, you know, a bridge coach in that way, where if you do decide to change it around, then you can do it because he has that type of development where you can build a culture and build a team because he's been around it with us, you know, with the Grizzlies. So it makes a lot of sense. And so just for him, I think, I think he's going to have a, it's going to be interesting for him what he does in terms for us with the Grizzlies, in terms of getting, like, another coach. Personally, I don't know. I mean, they might get another coach. I could see them, like, doing, like, promotion. So basically promoting, like, a Brad Jones or a Scoot, Vitaly. And then you got to sign your ramen. Like, you could promote one of them to being the head assistant or something like that. And basically, you know, they could do that, or they could, like you said, go get somebody else, which is going to be interesting. I really don't know what they're going to do with that coaching spot because they do have one to spill. You know what I mean?
I'll say this. I think it's probably more likely that they'll promote somebody to be, like, the top assistant and bring somebody else in rather than bring somebody else in to be the top assistant. So I would lean more towards probably, you know, promoting somebody and then bringing in somebody else to just be on the bench with them. Like, I think that's probably the most likely thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, I do agree. I think that they'll promote in terms of top assistant and then bring somebody in. But like you said, I wouldn't mind an ex-player. Like you said, I think an ex-player helps. I mean, we got a few on the staff already. And I think who's a Vitaly, he actually played. And not every, other people played, but he played in the league. And so, like you said, I think that would help. names, though, like you said, is going to be interesting because I don't know who it is. Because, again, it could be somebody as somebody's left field as a player that hasn't coached before. Because Quinn Snyder, I think, in Atlanta just hired, I think, Epe Udo. Like, and he was one of his former players for his last couple years with the Jazz. So they could do something like that where I don't know. I'm trying to think of a player that played for the Grizzlies.
Brevin Knight, then. Hey, you know, let's just go for it, man.
Brevin
Knight, if you're listening to this, we need you on the coaching staff.
Facts. He be talking. He knows ball, of course. But I'm trying to think of a dude who played for us when Jacob's here. Like, for example, Tim Frazier. Like, he played for us for a small time, but who knows? Like, it could be somebody as random as that. I really don't know. Because, like you said, like with former players, some people have already been in the league, but usually they're already with their staff. So it's kind of hard for me to see somebody that's already with the staff say, hey, I'm going to take this opening there. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. I'm confident that they'll find somebody that figures it out. But I'm very, you know, we definitely going to miss Darko because, again, he was a top assistant. You know, because they don't really tell you what others, you know, all the assistants do and what their roles are. But with Darko and all the stuff that's come out, you could tell he was really hands-on. Like, he was basically Jenkins' right-hand man. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a big loss in that. But I think they'll be able to pick it up and make up for it in other areas, whether it's Jenkins taking on more responsibility, assistant taking on more responsibility, shoot even players to an extent. You know, I think they'll figure it out and be able to work around it, you know, just like they always have with other stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And for anybody who thinks that assistant coaches aren't, like, that important, I will say a lot of Bucks players talked about, like, not having Darvin Ham after he went to the Lakers and how that was a really big difference this season and especially in the playoffs. So I think this could be something that's really important. Now, I will say the most important thing of the offseason is still going to be finding the replacement for Dylan Brooks. But I think that this is it's going to be pretty high on the list is find the next assistant coach that's going to be added to the staff. And it's going to be something else to kind of look out for as we are, you know, officially in the offseason now. But the last thing I did want to talk about, didn't want to get too far into it because next week, that is like the whole show is going to be about the NBA draft. But I did want to get some quick draft thoughts. Just, you know, it's really insane how fast a turnaround is because the draft is like less than 2 weeks away already. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Grizzlies decide to do. For now, I still think that, like, if it was up to me, I'd still say they used a pick in a trade, most likely. But who knows at this point, man? It might be all the way up until the day of the draft for us to figure that out. And even if we do get to the day of the draft, I mean, we know that Zach Kleiman also has a really, you know, he loves to trade up on draft night as well. So that's another possibility that we could be looking at either trading up or maybe trading, you know, trading back a little bit. Who knows? But assuming that they do keep the pick, there are a couple players that I do think that they could go with. I know a lot of people have been talking about like GG Jackson, the Brandon Pods kid. I know a lot of people have been talking about him as well. There's a lot of dudes like Bryce Sensabaugh, which is a guy that I've looked at, and I think that he'd be a solid draft pick as well. Kind of fits that small forward role from Ohio State. So, but I will say this. If as you're going through when you're looking at and you're looking at the draft class and you're trying to figure out who are the Grizzlies going to pick, I always say they have a blueprint. So look for guys that were, you know, plus 37% from three in college, probably at least two or three attempts a game, like at the minimum. And I'd also look for guys that have positive wingspans. I mean, besides Desmond Bane, like that's basically been every single pick. And guys that have over two steals or blocks per game, you know, combined stocks. Because that's something they always look at is how can you impact the game on the defensive end? Can you force turnovers? Can you help get out in transition? And then, like, obviously they're going to look at all the other stuff like athleticism, height, and stuff like that. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see exactly what they decide to do. Because, like I said, if it was up to me, I'd still rather use that pick probably in a trade for a guy like OG Anunoby. But if that trade doesn't come to fruition, there are some solid guys that you could look at that 25 spot, or maybe even look to trade up a little bit, because there's been a lot of clamor already about teams, not just in the lottery, but teams kind of in that like 15 to 20 range that might be willing to trade out of that pick as well.
Yeah, shoot. And to talk about trading, shoot, I think Shams reported it. Like, I think the Pelicans trying to move up to like 3 or 2 to get Scoot. So, like, literally after 1, this is going to probably be a crazy night. And so, like you said, to your point, the Grizz always trade up. So, like, I could see them doing that if they keep the pick. Personally, I don't know if they might keep the pick. Like, again, I think they'll – either if they don't keep the pick, they'll bring in a rookie, whether that's a two-way or a second-round pick. They'll still bring in somebody. But it's interesting because, like, you said, they can go a lot of different ways. Because I know a few people talked about G.G. Jackson. You know, a few people talk about, like, Derek Whitehead. And, you know, I think you got Ben Shepherd, Jed Howard, Bryson Sabaw from Ohio State. Shout out to Buckeye Nation. I'm an Ohio State fan, so I would love Bryce on this team.
We're not doing no Buckeye stuff on this show, man.
Let's keep What's wrong with Buckeyes, man? Now. I'm just saying Let's Buckeye
moving,
Nation.
Man. Let's keep it moving, man. Come saying, on, we're not man. Doing that today.
All I'm saying, man. Hey, good play. All I'm saying is good player. That's all I'm saying. But
he is a good player. He is a really good player. Like, that's why I mentioned him too. I do like Bryce Sensabaugh a lot, so I would not be mad at it at all.
But yeah, but they got a lot of different players they could go. And it really just depends, because a lot of the people that are talked about could go higher than where the Grizz are. Because I think the Grizz have the 25th pick, and I think they have the 45th pick in the second round. So they got 2 picks. But again, I don't expect them to stay at them spots, because they never have. So it'll be interesting, man. I do think they'll do, like, I think, like you said, it'll come down to the day. Like, I think they'll do, if that's my prediction, I think they'll make a move during the draft day instead of before, like they've done before. In the past, I think it'll happen that day. A lot of stuff will happen that day, and there'll be one of the moves or many moves that happen, because, like, the draft range after 1 is kind of crazy. I mean, you got to set 2 to 3, top 3, but after 3, it's going to be crazy, bro. Even after 2, maybe. I don't know, bro. It's going to be a crazy night, and I'm ready for it, obviously. Obviously, we'll keep y'all updated. You know, we'll give y'all updates and stuff like that, or, you know, when it happens. But, like, yeah, it's going to be wild, man. And the Grizzlies are probably going to be a team that's part of the madness that goes on draft night. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. I'll be here for it. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's – and I'm like you said, they've been a part of the madness on every draft night the last couple of years and whatever it is that's going on. And then you go back. But I will say, like, after last year, I do not see them bringing in more than max 2 rookies. Maybe 1 at, like – because last year they brought in 5. There's no way they're doing that again. Like, we know that for a fact. So it's gonna be there's a lot of stuff that the front office is gonna have to consider, like what trade offers they're gonna have and stuff like that. That's gonna be the biggest thing. And then if they are gonna be able to use that trade for a guy like OG, or, you know, for a guy like Cam Johnson, there's a lot of guys that you could look at that maybe they could use in a draft night trade. So I think that's a big possibility. And then, but I do also think there's a possibility that they just stay at 25 and make the pick. If the dominoes fall the right way and they feel like they can get, you know, like you said, Bryce Sensabaugh there, they might just stay there and be like, you know, hey, if that's who we get there, we can take them. And they are confident. If there's one thing the Grizzlies are confident in, it's their player development staff, even with Darko leaving. And I don't think that's really going to change regardless of what's happening. So I think if they think that they have a chance to get the guy that they want at 25, they'll stay there. But like I said, if it was up to me, I'd still use that pick on somebody else. But like I said, next week we're going to get into that fully and drop that show basically the day before the draft. So, you know, keeping everybody updated with everything that's going on. And I know we said it's probably not going to be until draft day that they make a trade, but there is a very good possibility that by the next time we record a podcast, a trade has been made. Like, that is a possibility as well. So that's something that I would look out for. And, you know, officially in the off season, now that the off season, you know, because with the NBA, it really doesn't feel like there's an off season until really August, just because of how quick the turnaround is. Because you're talking, you know, draft coming up, summer league is really only a couple weeks away. So there's still going to be a lot of Grizzly stuff to cover next few weeks with the draft and summer league.
Hey, World Cup too. World Cup.
Oh, yeah. FIBA World Cup. Yeah. FIBA World Cup. All of that. So there's going to be a ton of stuff to cover over the offseason. And, you know, we're going to keep everybody up to date on all things Grizzlies and NBA in general. But thank you guys for listening this week. We'll see y'all next time. For your host Bryson Wright and Alex Witten, this is the Next Gen Podcast. We'll see y'all in the next one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.